Good evening, everyone. Thank you again for this opportunity. And tonight, we're going to be taking a look at continuing in our study in the pursuit of holiness. We'll be looking at holiness in body and holiness in spirit. So to start out, if you want to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And as you're turning there, we have a verse up on the screen here, 1 Peter 1:16, where it says, "Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy." And this is kind of the theme verse for Jerry Bridges' book that we've been going through on these Thursday nights, The Pursuit of Holiness. And chapters 11 and 12, which I was assigned to, go through holiness in body and holiness in spirit. So as we turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, we'll read those verses in a short while, but we're going to take a look at this idea of what is body and what is spirit. And it came across my mind to think about, well, I always hear about body, soul, and spirit, and what are the differences there? And actually, in the Sunday night classes in the person of Christ, we had an opportunity to talk about the differences between body, soul, and spirit. And we could spend all night tonight, or even more than that, discussing the differences. Body, maybe a little self-explanatory, but soul and spirit, maybe some gray areas. I got a little diagram from the internet. And again, there's many different opinions on this, and I'll explain to you what my thought process was as we were talking about body, soul, and spirit, going through these two chapters of the book, The Pursuit of Holiness. So we'll read 1 Thessalonians 5:23 in a little bit as well. You don't need to turn there. But this idea of all of us as human beings having three different parts. The body, again, it's pretty apparent in what that is. It's the physical aspect of our being that interacts with the world, that interacts with our environment, and that has interactions with other human beings. So that's the physical aspect. And then we think of this idea of soul and spirit, and that's where it gets a little gray. And the soul can often be described as the world conscience. And it shows up here our will, our mind, our emotions, you know, different parts of our non-physical being that interact with others in this world, that interact with this environment. Then we have that spirit, which can often refer to the God conscience or our relationship, the part of our being that interacts with the spiritual realm or our relationship with God. Again, there can be a lot of debate about, you know, well, is that the right way of viewing it, or are there different opinions? Feel free to come up to me afterwards and say you disagree, you believe otherwise. But as we went through this, as I read through these chapters of this book, as the author spoke about holiness in spirit, it sounded as if he was talking about holiness in soul and spirit. So what I did was, I'll tell you how I divided it, but reading 1 Thessalonians 5:23 and seeing what does this verse tell us. "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." And I added the emphasis just on a couple parts that stood out to me, but we're addressed here the parts of our being is spirit, soul, and body. But to put our focus tonight on this idea of whole, tonight we're going to be focusing on the pursuit of holiness in our entire being, in our whole being. And then I also highlighted part of that verse. The NET Bible translation translates "sanctify you completely" as "make you completely holy." So we have this concept of our whole being should be pursuing this idea, this concept of complete holiness. So also we see Hebrews 4:12, "The word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit." We see that in that verse, the word of God is what we need to go to if we're going to be pursuing holiness. So we're going to have a lot of references tonight. We won't turn to all of them for sake of time, but just making references to them. But pursuit of holiness in our entire being. And as we mentioned about body, soul, and spirit, we have here, tonight we're going to divide it up into two things. The pursuit of holiness in the physical realm, which we're talking about body, and then the non-physical, which we'll be talking about soul and spirit. So kind of encapsulating those into two different categories. The tangible versus the intangible. And even just to share with you, one of the struggles that I have, and perhaps maybe some of you out there have that as well, is a lot of times, because I know other people are watching me, I'll be going through the motions. You know, I'll act like a Christian. I'll be doing the right behaviors, but internally, I can be so far away from God, even though the outward appearance can appear that I'm doing righteous deeds. So that brought my mind to 1 Samuel 16:7, where we read, "For the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." And after we finish tonight, I hope our mindset will be, we want to have an equal pursuit of holiness in body and in spirit as well. We want to have complete harmony between those two aspects. We can't serve God with our lips and with our actions and then inside be completely far away from God. So we're going to look at pursuing holiness in our body or the physical aspects and in our spirit and soul, which are the non-physical aspects. So before moving on to the next slide, we'll read those verses in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, starting at verse 12. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 12. "All things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Foods for the stomach, and the stomach for foods, but God will destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God both raised up the Lord, and will also raise us up by his power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? Certainly not. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? For the two, he says, shall become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him." Verse 18. "Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body. But he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Now, we read these verses for a number of reasons. We see a big connection between body and spirit, just as we read, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. But we might go through the whole study tonight and you might say, well, why did we even do this? Why do we need to pursue holiness? Why do we need to understand, you know, how to pursue holiness? Well, why? We started out with one verse in 1 Peter 1:16, "Be holy, for I am holy." Reason number one, God commanded it. God commanded us to pursue holiness. Then, as we read in verse 20, "For you were bought at a price." And right there, we have enough reason. But reason number two, that Jesus Christ paid a costly, costly price for our souls. He went to the cross, shed his precious blood on the cross for our sins, that we may have forgiveness. And because of that, we were bought with a price. We belong to God. And again, first and foremost, the decision needs to be made that we understand that that blood was shed on the cross for me. And we put our faith in that sacrifice on the cross. We have that forgiveness of sins, but then we need to realize, you know what? I was bought at a price. I belong to God now. So reason number two, we are not our own. And reason number three, we can jump back one more verse to verse 19. "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you?" Reason number three, the Holy Spirit dwells within us. We have God dwelling inside of us. What more of a reason do we need? There we go. One, two, three reasons of why we should pursue this holiness in body and holiness in spirit. So that's a little bit of a reason of why we're studying what we're studying tonight. Now, we're going to start off by considering holiness in body. And we just read a few verses that remind us that we're members of Christ. And if we're members of Christ, why would we identify ourselves with a harlot? If we should be, as we also read in Romans 6, if we should be instruments of righteousness, why would we want to identify ourselves with acts of unrighteousness, with the behavior of a harlot? And we shouldn't want to do that because, again, we belong to God. So certain actions, certain physical aspects of our lives impacts others directly by, you know, the interactions we have with one another. Then there are other actions that we do that impact ourselves directly. Now, it might be getting a little confusing, but anything that we do here in this life is going to affect ourselves and anybody that we come in contact with. But tonight, we're going to focus on two areas that I believe are often neglected in believers' lives, and I think specifically in this Western culture, in America, in the United States. We're going to consider our appetite and our activity. Again, there's so many different areas, but when considering holiness and body, this is what the author of that book that we're going through and the parts that stood out to me were considering our appetite and an activity. So Proverbs 23:21, I'll just read that right here, tells us, "For the drunkard and the glutton will come to poverty, and drowsiness will clothe a man with rags." Other translations will say, "Laziness will clothe a man with rags." So here we have a verse in Proverbs that talks about gluttony, our appetite, and laziness, our activity, our level of activity. So a verse in Proverbs that kind of encompasses the whole thing. But as you see from the references up here, there are so many verses, and these are just a handful of some of the verses that discuss, you know, our appetite and discuss our level of activity. So we'll start off with our appetites first. And here we have a picture of my wife and I when we went cross country on a cross country trip. And I guess they say everything's bigger in Texas. And as you can see, maybe you can read it beneath that cow, it says the Big Texan. So there was this restaurant, and their concept was just everything big, you know. So miles and miles down the road, before we even got anywhere near this restaurant, there's this advertisement. And maybe you can see it on the far side of the screen on that cow. It's a little dark. But the advertisement was free 72-ounce steak. Now, how many people does that sound a little bit appealing to? First of all, free, but then second of all, 72-ounce steak. So I see this, and this, you know, mile after mile, billboards, advertisements, everything, free 72-ounce steak. And it was almost like, you know, I was being challenged. It's like, you know, I bet you can't do it. And I, you know, we were in the car for, who knows, 6, 8 hours. I was starving. I was like, you know what, I can do that. You know, and the whole time just thinking about how hungry I was and how I could satisfy my hunger by taking on this challenge. Now, a little more details about it, just briefly. Free 72-ounce steak. It was free. First of all, who knows how much 72 ounces is in pounds? Anybody? Julie, help me out. I think it was 4.5. That's what the cup said. I could be wrong, but we got a cup from the restaurant. It says 4.5 pounds. Maybe it's 6. I didn't do the math. I'm not a math person. But so it's, you know, 72 ounces of meat, 2 side dishes, a salad, a roll, a drink. If you eat all that within 1 hour, you get the meal for free. If you don't, it's like $70 or $80. So for me, which I mean, I guess is a good value considering all the meat that you're getting, but for me, that was a challenge to me. And I was saying, you know what, I can do this. And I guess I could have done it, maybe not, but the point is, at that time, my hunger, satisfying that hunger that was within me, made me completely disregard any commandments that we had in Scripture. And I said, you know, there's nothing in the Bible that's telling me I shouldn't do this. I was hungry. But I was indulging that appetite. I was living to please that appetite and overindulging. And even when, you know, Scriptures throughout the Bible talk about gluttony, I didn't realize at that time that I could be honoring or dishonoring God by what I eat. In this case, how much I ate. Now, our next slide, if you look at the top of the screen, this is the wall of my dorm room at Messiah College. And I was a little proud of this. I shouldn't have been proud, but across the top, you'll see empty cans of Mountain Dew. And that was going the whole way around my dorm room. And I guess I used to really enjoy Mountain Dew, but then I got married. But Julie's a good influence on me because that was a terrible habit that I had. And we see down here, quantity and quality. It's not only the amount of food that we eat, but what's the quality of the food we were eating? I think also in those 4 years I was at college, I don't think I went to the dentist one time. So when I went back, though, I had 3 cavities, and that got taken care of. But, you know, thinking about what are we taking in, not just how much, but what kind of food are we taking in? And tonight, we don't want to get legalistic and say, okay, well, soda is bad and this is good. But for me, you know, so much sugar and caffeine, it's a personal judgment between you and the Lord. And just an encouragement tonight is that we need to consider, what are we taking in? And every decision, even what we eat, We should bring it before the Lord and say, Lord, am I honoring you by what I'm eating? Am I honoring you by how much I'm eating? And these are questions I think, I know for myself, I'll admit, I never considered before doing this study and pursuing holiness in body. And for sake of time, I'll just read a few of these references. Ecclesiastes 6:7 tells us, all the labor of a man is for his mouth, yet the soul is not satisfied. We'll work our entire lives to feed ourselves, and yet we're not satisfied. Even if I ate that 72-ounce steak, what would I do the next morning? I'd eat breakfast. I'd be hungry again. You know, and that's the case for all of us. When we satisfy our physical needs, our physical desires, we're hungry the next day. We're never completely satisfied. We look at Amos 4:8, and it says, they wandered to cities to drink water, but they were not satisfied. Even in this life, our thirst will be quenched, but momentarily, if we're living just for that satisfaction of, you know, luxurious food or drink, whatever it may be, we're going to be left empty. Micah 6:14, you shall eat but not be satisfied. Again, repeating over and over the fact that our physical consumption of food is not going to completely satisfy us. Philippians 3:19 talks about men whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and they set their mind on earthly things. Now, a lot of this, the belly is used in imagery, but it makes a very good literal point as well. When our God is our belly, we satisfy that need momentarily, but then there's a void in there once again. And if we're setting our mind on earthly things, as Philippians reminds us, we're going to, you know, perhaps be satisfied for the moment, but then we'll be hungry right again. You know, could be an hour later, could be 4 hours later, could be the next day, but we're always going to be left wanting more if we're looking for this life to satisfy us. So holiness and body, we need to be seeking something higher than anything that this world can offer. Romans 16:18 continues with that imagery, talking about men that were not serving the Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. And that's a good question for all of us to ask. Are we serving the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, I might say, he's my Savior, he's my Lord, but by my actions, am I serving my own belly? Again, this can be, you know, figuratively, you know, are we serving our own desires, or even literally? We'll take it that way tonight. Are we serving our own bellies? Are we living for our appetites? So a lot of warnings throughout Scripture. And then we can move on to this idea of activity. So we have our appetite. You know, we understand we have to keep that in check and to be careful that we don't always indulge, but to show a little discipline. We have our activity that we're going to consider now. Now, activity, I came across these random strangers lying on the beach. They were sleeping, so I just took a picture of them real quick. And this is just, you know, perhaps someone might go on vacation. Now, there's, you know, just an image for us to think of, you know, our level of activity. Now, there's nothing wrong with vacation in and of itself, but the Bible commands us, you know, there is references to work, but there are references to rest as well. Rest is important. We can't just go on our whole lives working, working, working. Rest is mentioned in Scripture. But as we read, actually, I haven't been in the Proverbs class on Sunday nights, but all these verses that I have here regarding our level of activity, I took from Proverbs. There are a great number, of more verses that refer to this idea of laziness. And whenever something is mentioned over and over and over again in Scripture, I think two things. I think, hey, this must be important as far as pleasing God. But I also think, hey, maybe as a human being, I might struggle with this. You know, and I don't know if it's true for you, but I know for myself, laziness is something that I struggle with. You know, and we need to remember that there is a time for work, there's a time for rest, but there's never a time for laziness. And we see, I'll again just read a few of these references here. Proverbs 6:9, how long will you slumber? How many times have we asked ourselves that question? How long will I slumber? You ever catch yourself sleeping in, you wake up, you look at the clock and say, you know what, I can sleep a little bit more, even though you've been sleeping for 10 hours. I'm guilty of that a lot. Proverbs 13:4, the soul of the lazy man desires and has nothing. And then we see in Proverbs 19:24 and 26:15, very similar verses, the wording may be a little bit different, but again, the same verse is pretty much repeated twice. Hey, maybe it's something I should listen to. A lazy man buries his hand in a bowl and will not so much as bring it to his mouth again. And here we have that idea of gluttony and laziness again. We see that this person is so lazy, and I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but I found myself in that situation sometimes where I've even eaten so much, and I get to the point I'm so lazy that I'm going for more food, and yet I'm so tired I can't even bring it to my mouth. And just how overcome we are by appeasing our appetites for food and our appetite for sleep. And I think this idea of indulgence versus discipline is a big concept that we have here tonight that we need to realize. You know, we need to bring all these decisions, whether how small we think they are, we need to bring them before the Lord. And I think the reason we addressed these two issues tonight was because for myself, I thought those were two areas that I struggled in, and even with our culture, can be a struggle for many people. There are so many more aspects as far as pursuing holiness and body, but those are just some of the ones we looked at tonight. Now, we can ask ourselves, okay, holiness and body, now what does that have to do with holiness and spirit? How are we going to get on to the next phase? Well, actually, before that, let me mention one more verse. 1 Timothy 4:8, I'm sure many of you know. This goes back to that activity part where we need to work and we do need to rest. But 1 Timothy 4:8 talks about bodily exercise profits little, but godliness is profitable for all things. So, sorry, I'm just taking a step back. I got ahead of myself. Godliness should be our main focus, but we see in Scripture that there is some profit to bodily exercise. So, not that we should completely neglect that, but our goal should be godliness, seeking to please the Lord, pursuing holiness. But there is a place for bodily exercise, and I'm even reminded of Ephesians 5, where it talks about the husband's relationship for his wife. The husband should care for his wife as he cares for his own body. So there we're called to do two things. We're supposed to care for our wives, and yet we are supposed to care for our own bodies as well. And that's everything that we've been talking about, whether it be what we eat, the exercise that we get, the work that we do, the rest that we get, so many different aspects. So, again, now coming back to transitioning into the holiness and spirit, there was a quote from the Pursuit of Holiness book that I wanted to read here. It says, "It is possible to curb the natural appetites of the body outwardly and yet be filled with all manner of inner defilement." And to me, that's such a strong statement that, again, that's what I mentioned in the beginning, how I could be going through the motions and living as a man-pleaser, and yet that's not, as believers, that's not how we want to live. We want to be here to please the Lord. You know, I don't want my actions to be right, and on the inside, as it said there, be filled with all manner of inner defilement. And that's where I find myself sometimes, so far away from the Lord on the inside, even though appearing to be close with the Lord on the outside by, you know, appropriate behavior. So that's where we need to, you know, again, keep that harmony, holiness in body and in spirit. So our application of how these can kind of work together was something that came to my mind, was that when we exercise self-control in the physical aspects of our lives, we can use those same disciplines and can carry them over into the spiritual areas in our pursuit of holiness. So we can take those same disciplines we learned in our pursuit of holiness for the body and apply them to holiness of the spirit. So that brought my mind to James 2:26, if we can turn there briefly. James 2:26, just to read one verse. And actually, if someone finds it, if they want to read that out for us, James chapter 2, verse 26. Thank you. We see here that, again, I can't look at someone and say, you know, I know what your faith is like. No, but I can look at their works, because their works are the visible evidence of their faith. You know, I'm reminded in Ephesians 2:8 and 9, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." We see that salvation is through faith alone. It's not by works. It's through the completed work of Jesus Christ on the cross. But once we come to faith in Christ, works should be evidence of that faith. And in the same manner, just as we're talking tonight, again, how often, and it'd be a good study too, how often are the body and spirit linked together throughout Scripture? "For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." The body, the works of the body, is the tangible evidence of our spirit, of what our spirit is like. Someone can look at my body and what I do, maybe what I eat, maybe my activity level, maybe the actions that I do, and see some glimpse of what my spirit is like. So that's a reminder for us, hey, they need to be in harmony. We need to pursue holiness in both of these areas. So again, some verses that have been read at Proverbs 20:27, Jeremiah 17:9-10, I'll read those for us. It's been read on previous Thursday nights. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart, I test the mind. I, the Lord, search the heart, and I test the mind. And that brings us into our next section in holiness and spirit, thinking about the heart, thinking about the mind, thinking about the non-physical aspects of how we can please God. With that introduction to holiness and spirit, who knows who this is up here? No. You might have to look back to your high school philosophy class, maybe your college philosophy class. Anybody know? Bonus points, whoever gets it. If not, I'll tell you. It's Rene Descartes. He has, I guess, a girl name. Maybe I'm pronouncing it wrong. Maybe, who knows? But who knows what he's famous for? Maybe for a number of things, but there's only one thing I remember from school. A short phrase that he said, Rene Descartes. I think, therefore I am. So here we have Rene Descartes, or Rene Descartes, however you want to say it. But 15th, 16th century, and this was a groundbreaking philosophy when he came out with this. Wow, the mind is so connected with the identity of a person. A person's ability to think is so defining in who that person is. Now we have another little quiz. Who's this? King Solomon. I don't know if that's what he looks like. Not sure if that, according to Google, that's what he looks like. But we see, as he was led by the Spirit of God, Proverbs 23:7, for as he thinks within himself, so he is. And I said, these things sound so familiar. Again, I don't know what kind of faith or whatever that Rene Descartes came from, but 2,500 years earlier, before this groundbreaking philosophy came out, we have the Spirit of God speaking through Solomon, telling us this exact same thing. You know, seeing that what a man thinks is very important and very crucial in defining who that person is. And God's saying here in Scripture, not just this verse, but throughout, that since we've been given the Word of God, since man was created, mankind's thoughts are important to God. And again, this isn't something new. This isn't something, you know, earth-shattering philosophy. This is God's design from the beginning. He wants our minds, our thoughts, our hearts, our emotions, our inner being to be glorifying to Him. So we see through the Word of God that holiness and spirit is important to Him. So when we spoke of the body, I thought it might be easier to remember. And as Ken mentioned last week, some people are visual learners. I'm a visual learner, which is why I like the PowerPoints. But two A's for the body, appetite and activity. Now, for holiness and spirit, we have two P's, passions and ponderings. Our passions being our emotions, our desires, our ponderings being our thoughts. And for sake of time, we won't read each of these references, but numerous people in Scripture, we look at Saul's life, we look at David's life, and we look at some mistakes that they had made, and we can learn from them, but we also look at encouragement as well through Scripture regarding our emotions, our desires, our thoughts. We see that these are all things that God cares about. And again, it needs to be lined up with our pursuit of holiness in body, the pursuit of holiness in spirit just as well. So we talk about this idea, and as Ken mentioned last week, again, this idea of self-discipline, even talking about memorizing Scripture, spending time in the Word, different things like that, there's this idea of self-discipline. And I think it runs throughout what we've been talking each Thursday night. But if we could turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, not that we're going to read this verse and all of our problems will be solved, but this verse kind of helped me have a better understanding of this idea of self-discipline. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 10. 1 Corinthians 15:10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and His grace toward me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. We talk about this idea of self-discipline and self-control, and yet we realize, turning back to the Word, it is nothing of our own ability. We can't overcome this sin on our own. Again, the forgiveness of sins, the grace that God has given us for salvation is such a tremendous thing, but how thankful we can be for the grace that He gives us daily to overcome each of these struggles that we may be going through. And as we're talking about holiness and spirit, our solution comes down to not indulging in that thought, that emotion, or desire that may come about, but having that discipline, that self-discipline, self-control, again, by God's grace, as He gives us the grace daily to overcome each of these attacks and trials that the devil brings upon us. So, looking on to, you know, verses in Scripture that have been an encouragement to me, Psalm 73:25. There is none upon earth that I desire besides You. Through this whole study tonight, we've been talking about desiring after the things of this world, the material things, the things that don't last. But if our desire is on the One who sustains our life, who gives us breath, we're always going to be satisfied. And we see that nothing in this life can satisfy. So we need to turn our eyes towards God. And that is, you know, our desire shouldn't be on obtaining, you know, whatever possessions in this life. Thinking of different emotions and desires that we may struggle with, lust, greed, jealousy, things like that, we shouldn't, you know, have that desire after things in this life, but our desire should be completely devoted to the Lord. And then to look at one more passage here regarding our thoughts, we're going to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I know we've been flipping around a little bit, and it's just been a reminder to me about how much God actually does care about our pursuit of holiness in body and in spirit, and how it's specifically referenced all throughout Scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and we're going to read verses 3 through 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for pulling down strongholds. Verse 5, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. This idea of bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Someone helped me in just visualizing this verse, almost taking it as literally as it's saying, a thought may briefly come into our minds, and we need to, you know, just picture ourselves putting shackles on this thought and tossing it in prison and putting it under and putting it in captivity, into obedience to Christ. You know, a lot of times a thought may enter our mind, a sinful thought, and, you know, whether it is lust, greed, jealousy, so many things, and we entertain that thought. We allow it to roam in our minds. We don't shackle it and throw it away into obedience to Christ. That's where the trouble can start. And I remember, I think it was a Rise Up conference, just to elaborate on an example that was given to me, that as far as the development of sin in someone's life, and I related to it very much so, but this person gave the example, you know, that thought comes into our minds and we're reminded to not make any provision for the flesh and to make no opportunity for sin to arise in our lives. But that little sinful thought comes into our minds and we don't shackle it up and put it into captivity, obedience to Christ. We entertain it. We allow it to roam freely. And I say, oh, you know, no big deal. It's just a thought. You know, I'm not like, you know, lusting after. It's not my passion in life. It's, you know, it's not part of my lifestyle. It's just a thought. Then we allow that thought to continuously run through our minds. You know, oh, people can't see it. It's okay, you know. And then once we're thinking about it all the time, soon it becomes a desire. First in the mind, what we think about, then it becomes a desire. It becomes a passion of the heart that, hey, you know, I do want something like that. You know, and, you know, maybe every once in a while we have that passion for something that we shouldn't have that desire for. So it's gone from the mind to the heart. And I say, oh, you know what, no one can see it. You know, it's okay, I'm not living a life of sin, but then it becomes part of our speech. Then we start talking about it, whether it's just a joke about it or a reference in a conversation just randomly. But then we notice ourselves talking about it more and more. So from the mind to the heart, you know, it's getting a stronghold on our heart. Then we start talking about it. And then soon enough, we're living the lifestyle of whatever sin, that little thought that entered that mind so long ago. If we had only put the shackles on it, put it into captivity under obedience to Christ, so many things can come as a result if we let that thought go. So an encouragement to everyone here tonight, you know, once those, you know, Satan will attack us. Any who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution, whether physically in this life or spiritually, attacks from Satan. But we need to realize that we need to catch that thought at the very beginning so that it doesn't take a stronghold on our mind, on our heart, in our speech, and then eventually with our actions. So we should present all of these decisions that we have to make before the Lord and cast our cares upon Him, knowing that He cares for us unlike anyone else. So we kind of gone through a few brief examples of pursuing holiness in body, pursuing holiness in spirit. Again, the concept meaning, you know, we need to pursue holiness in our entire being. There needs to be that harmony. That holiness in body, we talked about appetite and activity. And just as we go home tonight, just to consider, you know, a few questions we may ask ourselves, even little things like you go out to a restaurant or you're going out to the grocery store, you know, would this be honoring to God? You know, and I know often I'm guilty of it. If I'm looking for an excuse, I'm going to find an excuse. Oh, you know, it's once a week, or oh, it's somebody's birthday party, I'm just going to, you know, splurge just this once, or, you know, Monday night football, everyone's bringing food, I got to have snacks. You know, we can always come up with excuses if we're looking for them. But to bring every small decision before the Lord, Lord, am I going to honor you or dishonor you with what I eat? Then with our activity throughout the day. How many opportunities do we miss for sharing the gospel, for bringing glory to God because of our laziness? I know I've missed plenty of opportunities. So to encourage us tonight, we need to bring our level of activity before the Lord. Lord, when do you want me to set my alarm clock? You know, to spend that extra few minutes, that, you know, extra little time in your word or in prayer. You know, every little decision to bring before the Lord. Holiness in body, our appetite and our activity. Then holiness in spirit, our passions and our ponderings. You know, our emotions and desires and our thoughts. Again, it's not some new idea that some philosophy came out with. This is from Scripture, that God cares about what you and I think. God cares about what you and I desire. So we need to have that harmony, that correlation between our pursuit of holiness in body and in spirit. And I know even I told myself I'm not going to talk too fast, but I know we went through a lot of things tonight, and maybe you didn't follow it, but if you remember one thing tonight, to remember this concept of indulgence versus discipline. With every decision you make, am I indulging or am I showing discipline? And again, we mentioned self-discipline. Again, always by the grace of God, I am what I am. By the grace of God, we are what we are. He gives us the strength to have that discipline. So remember one thing tonight, to walk away. Present every decision before the Lord, every single decision, and ask ourselves, is this indulgence or is this discipline? And then we'll read that one more time in closing. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let that be our prayer as we go our separate ways this evening. Let's pray.